Well, concluding this week our sermon series, where we have explored our purpose statement that our leadership team has come up with for us, and we have it printed on our bulletins, and we have it strewn about the church in various places and outside for folks to see. It is, St. Paul is a safe place to be authentic and to experience acceptance, healing, and a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've hit each one of those words, and if you've been here every week, you've been following the series, you will probably have caught on to a theme that we keep going back fundamentally to faith. We keep going back to this loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to hit on today, what we're going to talk about today, that last important piece there, right? Last week we talked about faith and grace and the interaction between them, but another way to think and talk about the ways that faith and grace work is a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And as Jesus teaches us, it is a loving relationship, loving God, right, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then also loving our neighbors as ourselves. Those go hand in hand. We can't have one without the other. So when we talk about loving relationship with Jesus Christ, we are talking also about loving each other. And our scripture today, I think, brings it all together very nicely. Pun not intended. We're reading in the book, one of the letters to the Colossians, beginning in the first chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. And it's funny that Eugenia read a different version to the kids, because I'm going to read a different version to you. This is some pretty high Christology, and I really like the way that Eugene Peterson interprets it in the Message, that he puts it in a way that is very, very accurate and easier to understand. God rescued us from dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son. He loves us so much, the Son, who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in creating everything. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Jesus. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this very moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes and holds it together like a head does for a body. He was supreme in the beginning. And leading the resurrection parade, He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, He's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is He, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what He does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of Him, giving Him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving Himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in His presence. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So they believe that verses 15 to 20, kind of that middle part, is an early hymn about Jesus. Oh, we're not quite ready for that yet. Can you go back? Good, thanks. It's an early hymn about Jesus. It is some of the boldest statements about Jesus in the Bible. It's some of the most strongest Christology that you'll find in Scripture. And it was these passages to which the church fathers went to try to understand and explain who Jesus was that helped them to develop the idea and what became the doctrine of the Trinity. This idea that Jesus is co-equal with the Father, that within God there are these persons, one of whom that we experienced in Jesus Christ. And that Jesus, as a person of the Trinity, was there before time began and will be there when time ends. That Jesus is a part of God's entire plan for the whole universe. Paul writes, "We look at the Son and see God's original purpose in everything created." That's why I really liked using this translation, because it uses that word purpose. And what we've been talking about, our purpose, right? We've been talking about what our unique purpose is, but our purpose can't be distinguishable or sort of extra from what God's original purpose is. God's purpose for all of creation. Our purpose is sort of a way of living that out within the context of our community and our church, right? And so what this series has been called is made for each other. We're made for each other. Our purpose of existence is for one another. That is what this scripture is saying. And it's saying that we are for each other within that loving relationship of Jesus Christ. And the scripture says it in two ways, First, the scripture says everything got started in Him. Everything was created and came into existence in and through Jesus Christ. Now, this might be a little bit kind of stunning if you think about it, to think that Jesus is not God's plan B. It's not like God created everything and then, oh, it sort of fell apart in sin and, oh, man, what am I going to do? Oh, I know, I'll send Jesus. No, this says that Jesus was a part of the original plan, the original purpose, that even if we hadn't sinned, which is not a part of the plan, even if we hadn't sinned, Jesus still would come. Still would come to reveal to us this greater purpose that we have to be within a loving relationship with God and with each other. That Jesus, now counterfactuals aren't always helpful, but the scripture here is saying that the original purpose was that we were created to be in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and that would only happen when Jesus comes to be with us. We form a relationship in Jesus that brings us within and into this eternal relationship of love that is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it says, right, that things fell apart. Things have been broken and dislocated. Well, that's the way we talk about sin. Sin, the things that break our relationships with God and with one another. But this is going even farther to say that it's not just about God and one another. It's saying that the fundamental relationship of the entire universe is broken. Now, I want you to think about this, because you actually see this in science, and science has seen this over primarily with the Hubble telescope, which is really cool. They have figured out that the entire universe is expanding, right? You're probably familiar with that. But not only is the entire universe expanding, the entire universe is accelerating apart. So the implications of that would be that one day, without anything changing, there would be no stars in the sky at night, because the whole universe would be so far apart from each other that we couldn't see anything else. All the stars wouldn't be there. We'd be able to see the planets still, but no stars. The whole universe is blowing apart. They know it to be true. The whole universe has been damaged by sin and is flying apart. And the only thing, it says in the scripture, that will bring it back together is the original purpose for which it was made, Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ one day will come again and hold all things together as they were intended to be, as they were made to be. That without God's intervention into the world, the whole universe will eventually blow apart into nothing, right? Without intervention by God into the universe. And so we read the second way. So first, by creation, we were made in the image of God. That's what our scripture tells us in Jimage. First, we were made to be love and be loved in the way that God made everything. But secondly, all these broken and dislocated pieces of the universe get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. Not one single melody, but vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, Jesus' blood that poured down from the cross. So the center of the universe is Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ on the cross is not something that came in time. It's something that happens eternally in such that the Son of God died to defeat sin and was resurrected to begin recreation, to begin the new world, the new life, the, as it says here, the kingdom of God, or the reign of the Son. It begins again at the cross of Christ. It says we were strangers and aliens, but now we've been transferred into the reign of God. Part then, therefore, restored by grace to be able to be a part of these loving relationships for which we were intended in the first place. This is our purpose that we were made for, and the purpose that we were saved for. The resurrection of Jesus shows us what the world is meant to be, recreated into a loving environment, a perfection of loving relationships that begins with our relationship in Jesus Christ and then goes out into all the world. And Paul then also reminds us that it's beginning now. It's not something that we are waiting and longing for, although we do wait and long for the consummation of it, but it begins now. It starts now in the church, which is the body of Christ, knit and held together by Jesus Christ. And that is why we do this. That is why we go to the table with communion, to be knit back together each time we go into and with the real presence of the body of Jesus Christ. This is part of our purpose. This is part of how the grace of God works within us to build up our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship within the church, the communion of believers in one another. Now, all this comes together, or begins, if you will, or re-begins, is recreated, restarted with what each one of us have to have, which is a personal relationship, a personal loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've just realized that that is so fundamental and so important. I mean, I know it, but I've thought about it again and been sort of pressed to it again, and so that our next series after Youth Sundays is going to just be talking about what that means, to have a personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that for a while. Because building relationships, well, that's our purpose. Fundamentally, these other things that we're doing, offering acceptance, offering healing, offering a place to be authentically, a safe place to be authentically yourself, all of those are tools that we use to build relationships with each other and with Jesus Christ. It's the way that we do it. It's the way that we feel it here. But fundamentally, the foundation and purpose kind of everything. Theology, our theology is founded on the Trinity. It's founded on this idea, right? Ethics are founded on relationship. You want to think about a difficult ethical problem? Think about it in terms of what builds up relationships with Christ, loving relationships with Christ and with one another. It's the foundation of our church structure, as we just talked about. It's the foundation of morality. It's a very simple question. It's kind of the main thing that I try to teach the youth within confirmation. If you don't get anything else out of it, just hopefully got out of it that if you want to think about a difficult problem, think about what's going to build up relationships and not break down relationships, not cause barriers, but break down barriers. And that's how we live. That's how we live. Because we were created to be in a loving relationship, all of us together, in one loving relationship with Jesus Christ, in the Father, through the Holy Spirit. That's how everything gets fixed. That's how the universe comes back together. That's what we see in the cross of Jesus Christ. The true, full, loving, sacrificial relationship of Jesus, who died for you and lives so that you may live. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.